This programme was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. Phone-in elements of these shows are not available, but if you'd like to comment or give us feedback on our shows, you can tweet us at Love Sport Radio. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com. Alternatively, you can find this and other podcasts on iTunes or Spotify using the keyword Love Sport.
Okay, here we go. First fan show of the evening here on Love Sport London. Me, Matt Beadle, with you through to 11 p.m. this evening. For the next hour, it is all about the bees. We're going to be looking back. Come on, fellas. There we go.
Bit of enthusiasm
already into the studio.
Right.
We're going to be looking back at that goalless draw with Huddersfield on the weekend and hearing reaction from the fans and from Thomas Frank. We're going to be looking forward to an FA Cup fourth round clash with Leicester next weekend. Is it time for some of those fringe players to shine? Halil Dervişoğlu, perhaps, in front of the BBC cameras too. Plenty of team news to cover as well. Marcus Force and Ellery Balcombe both returning from loan spells due to injury. Just what is the situation with Nikos Kyrgios? And finally, we are actually going to be talking a little bit about Liverpool, dare I say it, and a certain Brentford record that could be under threat come the end of the campaign. As per, I am joined by the boys from Besotted, Dave Laney Lane.
Evening, how are you, mate?
Very good, thank you. And Greville the Waterman, hello.
Hi, good to be back.
Mate, lovely to have you on. There is a game, of course, going on in the Championship too. West Bromwich Albion in action this evening. An important one that will keep you updated should anything exciting happen. Gents, but firstly, before we commence, just a bit of sad news. And our thoughts are with Si Benrahma with the news that his father passed away.
Yeah, we heard about that today. It was announced today that his father died. We think in France, and our thoughts go out to Si. I mean, I've lost a dad. Lots of us have lost dads, and it's a horrible thing. And hopefully he'll get all the time and help and support that he needs. And given that we believe he's Muslim, and we suspect the funeral might be quite quick as well, because that's, I think, how they do it in the Muslim faith. But it's a terribly sad news, and we're sorry for him.
Yeah, I mean, it's a very, very tight squad we've got this year. So I would imagine a lot of Brentford players will be feeling Zion's pain as well. So, yeah, it's a horrible time. And, you know, as we've all said, our thoughts and best wishes go out to Si Benrahma and all his friends and family. Hopefully he can take the weekend to get his thoughts together, and as Greville said, you know, if he's not ready to come back next week, then we'll welcome him back with open arms whenever he is ready.
Yep, absolutely. At a time like this, family always comes first, doesn't it? But certainly in moments like this, thoughts and condolences to Si Benrahma and his family at this time. Okay, gents, we're going to move on now to the game at the weekend with Huddersfield. Now, was this a point gained, or considering results elsewhere, was this 2 points dropped?
Well, I have to admit to feeling a little bit dirty, if I'm honest with you, because we were hoping and wanting Queen's Park Rangers to win. And I had a proper hose down, and I had a very, very hot bath, and I came out cleaner from that. But
I didn't know where you were going with that when you started,
no,
Dave.
No, yes. Yeah, well, we'll move swiftly along, because I'd love to go sidetracked here, but I won't. I'm aware I'm on the radio. Podcast, no rules apply. So QPR did us a really massive favour. They beat Leeds United. Leeds were falling apart on the telly. They missed a penalty. They fell to a goal that should have been disallowed.
QPR gave you a hand, you might say, huh?
They could have had a penalty themselves. You know, it seemed that the day was set up perfectly for us to go and maximise. We had to settle for shaving a point off of their lead rather than three. But really, you know, there's no race to be getting there, to be honest, Greville. You know, it's what happens on the last game of the season in early May. You know, it being second place now means nish. So no. we're chopping the lead away bit by bit.
Well, that's right. I mean, I believe the gap was 13 points at one time, and now it's what, 4 or 5 points? You know, we can whittle it away slowly but surely. But we've also got to watch these other teams coming up. And I watched Nottingham Forest play Luton. And whilst I didn't feel... Yes, in fact, I did feel a little bit dirty wanting Luton to win, because I don't like Luton down.
Dirty boy.
Dirty boy. And, but then their goalkeeper...
I thought we weren't going to go down that way.
But then their goalkeeper threw one in. Oh, what an appalling error. And Forest then, who I don't like. I don't like the way Nottingham Forest play football. I think they're very cynical, very well organised. A bit. They are dirty as well, with Watson and people like that. We just got to wait. We've just got to keep winning our games.
So we had this really good conversation on the podcast on Wednesday that went out Thursday morning. We were saying, it didn't get heated, but we were saying that Brentford at the moment, we've got the least draws out of anyone in the division. And that's kind of working in our favour in terms of points per games. You know, it's better to lose a game than it is to draw four. And then as long as you're coming back and you're winning two or three on the trot, which is what we've done all season. So we need to bounce back from a draw now instead of a defeat, which is what we were doing. But, you know, now it's about just literally taking stock of what's going on around us and just keeping in touch, not moving further away from those top two. And if we drop two or three places, as long as we're not edging towards that seventh place, we need to, as long as that top six is as tight as we can, we got to be confident and we can finish very strong.
Yeah, the top two is a bonus. Top two will be incredible. You know, I'm aiming for the playoffs, and if anything better than that happens, so be it. But I think the only people that can beat us are ourselves. We are probably the best starting 11 in this league. I feel that strongly. We lost two players against Huddersfield, and as soon as I heard the team sheet with no Pontus Janssen, no Mathias Jensen, I actually thought, you know what, I'll take a point today, because, funnily enough, we missed Jensen more than Janssen because the back four was solid. Janvier made his one customary mistake in the game, but it didn't cost us, although it should have done. But we missed Jensen's creativity. We missed his delivery from set pieces, because our set piece delivery was appalling, apparently, where it's been very good lately. But we're going to be there. We're going to be there and about. And if we strengthen a little bit, we don't lose anyone, we don't have too many more injuries, and perhaps we'll come back to injuries in a minute, because, you know, we do have a lingering injury in Pontus Janssen, which worries me a bit, we'll be fine.
So I bumped into a Brentford fan earlier that got me a little bit concerned, stroke excited. He said that he'd had a dream and we were going to get... The top two in this division was going to be Brentford and Fulham. But if that didn't happen, we were going to play Queen's Park Rangers home and away in the first leg of the playoffs and then face Fulham at Wembley to go up. And we do it. We win our ninth playoff. And it's a significant one that takes us to the top of the division. And we have to say Stoke have just gone 1-0 up at the Hawthorns.
Woo!
So, yes, cheers. Cheers, Stoke. we'll keep one eye on that game, that's for sure. So, yeah, so far so good in the game that we need West Brom not to win, I'd say. But, yeah, so, you know, again... You know, I don't want things to get so serious this year that we look at being in the playoffs come May as some sort of disaster. I think I'm of the school of thought that I'm still quite happy to be at the party, if I'm honest with you. But you know, it's, I think statistically it's a fact now that we are more likely to be in the playoffs than we are to be outside the playoffs. So that's kind of quite scary.
Yep, just a quick update from the Hawthorns there. Tyrese Campbell putting Stoke in the lead. Defensive error, and
terrible,
they have been
the
punished. West Brom 0, Stoke 1. So good news for Bees fans.
Can we get the party
stand?
Party pop has come out 3-0.
Yeah. As usual as well, gents, you were in the pub after the game speaking to fans, giving their reaction to that draw with Huddersfield. Here is what they had to say.
A point gained or 2 points lost?
It's definitely a point gained, Chris. There's no doubt about that. But should we have had the full three? A tough one. Huddersfield came out in the first half with a plan, definitely. Not as a good as well executed plans when they came to visit us at Griffin Park. But nevertheless, a sort of tetchy first half, probably even Stevens on that. But they definitely came out of the traps better in the second half. Definitely had the first 20 minutes of that. But then we imposed our control again. and we almost, as you know, had it when we hit the post towards the end. How much luck did we not have today with some of the way the balls fell in? So, back to your original question, points probably fair. Could have had three, possibly, but I'll take the point home back to London all day long with Leeds' result today.
Suits in the house. Your review of Huddersfield 0, Brentford 0. What do you reckon?
Well, it wasn't quite like the game at Griffin Park. Huddersfield had to be a bit more expansive. We lived a bit dangerously at times, switched off one or two moments. We struggled to get a football going. We got it going occasionally, but we didn't really create clear-cut chances. Frustrating. Sometimes set wrong option, trying to find the perfect opportunity to score, when sometimes we should just put our boot through it. I'm pretty frustrated, to be honest. We could have lost the game, potentially. Draws, I suppose, fair result, but I'll leave here with a sense of frustration.
Could have easily won it at the end. I could have thought Josh Silva's shot was going in there.
I was banging the seat in frustration when that didn't go in, hit the post. We could have really just taken the game on scruff in the last 15. And we were going forward more than Huddersfield, no doubt about it. We were pushing them back in their half. But we just couldn't create that perfect opportunity. If you're taking a chance, like I say, swing your boot, take a chance in that sense. Might have struck gold. We didn't do that.
Yeah, I thought a few of us weren't quite at our best today. Benrahma, not quite on it. Josh De Silva until came into a bit towards the end, but no real standout performances for us.
No, I can't see a standout performance really, in creatively anyway. Ollie didn't really get a chance at all. Benny Saeed was trying to do things, but nothing really came off him today. Josh De Silva wasn't way off his best. These things happen. They're all trying. There you go. We took a point, but it's disappointing not to get three. Let's move on from here.
I thought Huddersfield were very well organised today. I thought they were more up for the game than we were, which is surprising because we are fourth in the league and I thought we should have pushed more. We dominated the last 30 minutes, but we should have really had more shots on target. We don't shoot enough. But the players worked very hard today and it's a difficult place to come and we'll take a point today.
They were trying to create the perfect opportunity, weren't they?
I think that shot at the end, I can't remember who had it.
Silva,
yeah. Hit the post, that could have been a difference, couldn't it? But overall, I thought we played okay. We controlled the game, but I think it's 2 points lost rather than a point game today. Overall, but
roll on Leicester and Forest.
Roll on Leicester and
Come
Forest.
Come on,
you Reds.
And Leeds are falling apart again, aren't they?
Having seen every game this season and seen every game we've lost, what you've got to remember is if you can't win, make sure you don't lose. Finish. And that's what we did today. That's what we did today.
Yeah. Point gained or 2 points lost?
I'd say 2 points lost. A bit frustrating in the second half. Particularly that last... The
shot that hit the post.
Yeah. And the last free kick they messed up.
I got the impression Huddersfield were happy with the draw there.
Yeah, oh, definitely.
Should we be happy with the draw? I'm not sure.
Good point to get to on Leeds, but...
Yeah, you always have to take into account the Leeds are falling apart again.
Yes, obviously.
For the fans, by the fans. Love Sport Radio.
This is the Brentford Fan Show here on Love Sport. Me, Matt Beadle, with the boys from Besotted, Dave Laney Lane and Greville the Waterman. Just a quick update from the Championship. West Brom playing Stoke at the moment. Tyrese Campbell putting the visitors ahead. That could be a big result for the Bees. And news as well that arguably West Brom's player of the season so far, Grady Diangana, was forced off about 5 minutes in. I'm not quite sure the extent of that injury, but it does not look good at all. He left the pitch shaking his head, grimacing he was, Greville.
Let's hope it's long and lingering.
Well,
we
don't want to wish injury upon players, Greville, not for one moment, but that could be crucial for West Brom's automatic promotion hopes.
Manners
indeed, Greville. Kenneth Ahore has come on
but
to
no
replace
pain.
Him.
No pain.
No, absolutely not. And speaking of pain and injuries, of course, you mentioned two players before the ads, Greville. Pontus Janssen and Mathias Jensen, both suffering injuries. The extent of which, guys, I mean, do we know too much about these?
We don't know. I mean, you know, Brentford, quite understandably. I mean, well, as far as Mathias Jensen is concerned, they're saying it's a twinge, a hamstring twinge. And the hope is that he might be back for the Forest game on the tomorrow week. Who knows? Because hamstrings are dodgy, as we all well know. Pontus is more worrying because he's missed three away games now, and it's obvious they're nursing him. He seems to have some sort of chronic hip complaint that who knows how bad it is. I mean, poor Ollie Watkins struggled through the whole of last season with a toe injury, which really curtailed his effectiveness. Pontus has been great whenever he's played, but he is missing games. So obviously he has to be nursed and helped through, and hopefully a couple of weeks rest, because let's face it, he's not going to play on Saturday, and the objective will be to get him back fit for Nottingham Forest. Hopefully the couple of weeks he'll have had off since QPR will do the trick, but maybe this is something that's going to be ongoing all season. Who knows?
We're waiting for the update from Pontus's brother on Twitter, which seems to be the way we find out information about Pontus Janssen. Yeah, it is concerning because he's been a real talisman for Brentford this season. He's like real captain fantastic. To be fair, when he's been missing, we haven't crumbled, I don't think. I
mean, Sheffield Wednesday we did.
Yeah, but we looked at each other. We all looked at each other before the West Brom game, and we thought, oh no. And we got through that okay. So yeah, okay. I'm not to say we don't miss him at all, because we do. But his influence on the team, I think his being there has helped us become a more solid defensive unit. And if you take him out of it, I think the disciplines and what we've learned this season, they don't vanish with him. I think we're more solid with or without him. It's better that he plays, absolutely. And you know, so I am kind of worried that it's going to be something that doesn't go away sooner. He needs rest, something we can't offer in between now and May. It's going to get a little bit more busy and frenetic and frantic, and each game means so much more. We've said, you know, although 3 points is 3 points, whether they happen in August or whether they happen in May, but now we know we get to that stage of the season where we can see that 3 points, how it affects everything else, and then it's a game less. So we're on that countdown, count up of games and points, and it's fascinating. And we need our strongest team, and our strongest team involves Pontus Janssen.
But the interesting thing is the three games he's missed, whether by luck or judgment, have all been away games, when frankly that's when we need him more away, because at home we dominate and we give away, what, 4 or 5 shots a game. But he's played every home game, but it's games at Sheffield Wednesday, West Brom, and now Huddersfield that he's missed, all of which were very tight away games.
And the conspiracy theorists and the trolls on Twitter say that he's at Leeds, watching Leeds away when he's not playing for us, or he's at Malmo.
Gone back
with his
to
mates.
Malmo, yeah, absolutely. He's there now, yeah.
Look at our Twitter sphere doing its thing again. Just I want to quickly pick up on something you said a bit earlier, Greville, with regards to Janvier. And you said he made his customary error that he tends to make for it. It's 50-50 up for him this weekend, right?
Yeah,
50th appearance for the club.
He's a really good, strong, solid centre-half. But he just, in my view, seems to lose a little bit of concentration. He uses the ball very well. But I always think, rightly or wrongly, there's an error in him. And, you know, also, I'm slightly concerned. You know, he got himself sent off in the 96th minute at Wigan when you're 3 up by getting involved in something he didn't need to. And he could have been sent off against Millwall a couple of weeks beforehand for also getting involved in something that had nothing to do with him. So it makes me think that he's a little bit hot-headed. He needs to calm down. Maybe he's learnt because he's lost his place. And with Ethan Pinnock playing majestically, he's not going to get it back anywhere soon. But I want Pontus back. I want my Pontus back.
Oh, Greville, I feel so sorry for you, mate. There's a little tear in your eye there. But, you know, I think we find out a little bit more. I mean, we are going to talk about the FA Cup game with Leicester, which takes place this weekend, a little bit later on the show. But Pinnock and Janvier, I would imagine, play very, very pivotal roles in that. So we see Janvier a little bit more underneath the microscope. We got the BBC cameras there. There's going to be a lot of people watching. If he makes a mistake against Leicester, it's probably going to cost us a goal. So we need error-free Janvier.
Yeah, absolutely. In the Championship, just to let you know, it's still Stoke leading West Brom 1-0. And gents, I've got to say, we've got to give the club some props here because clearly they are releasing news shortly before we come on air, which we can then talk about. Last week, it was the contract for Thomas Frank. This week, assistant Brian Riemer.
Yeah, it's a little round of applause, I'd say there. Well done. Well done for timings that are all around the Love Sport radio show on a Monday night. Having Frank and Riemer bolted down for the medium term is important. I think, you know, we've spoken at length over the couple of 3 years that he's been at the club that there's been question marks over him at times. Certainly in that first dozen games when he took over from Dean Smith, but he's answered not only has he answered all these critics, I would say, but I think we've all become used to his style, the way he speaks to the press, the way he speaks to fans. I think the interview that he conducted with Besotted was excellent, and that's not just me saying it. It's not saying we were excellent. I'm saying he was excellent on the interview. He came across well. The way he articulates himself in his second language, the way he gets what Brentford's about, and the way he is prepared to give his medium term future to the club can only be a good thing. You know, some people will come to Griffin Park and to Brentford in from a playing perspective only to better themselves by moving on. He seems certainly to be there and happy to grow with us, and I'm happy that he's with us.
Yep, absolutely fantastic news. And in the post-match after the game, Thomas Frank, who always seems to be honest and open, doesn't he? He always gives a refreshingly honest post-match interview. The game against Huddersfield, he was nothing but the same. Here's what he had to say.
An average performance, I must say. The good thing is that we again look extremely solid. We're giving nothing away. Yeah, I know they had one big chance where it was actually a misunderstanding. I think Julian should just clear the ball. Besides that, they have had nothing in 90 minutes. So that's the good part, that we are still looking so solid. Another clean sheet, giving very few, nothing away. So that's the good part. On the ball, yes, we dominated, especially first half. I think first half we didn't, utilize the space we had enough. We didn't utilize or put enough into the combination on the side. There's not enough running and play and go on the side and produce crosses. And second half, they were a little bit more on top of the game in the first 15-20 minutes. Then we got back into the got the control, created opportunities, created the big chance for Josh, where he normally puts it in the back of the net. But on the day, our front three, and in general all the pitch, maybe we didn't have that extra touch, that extra good pass, or that extra good decision. So when none of the front three are really, really on it, then you need something special from Italy, nowhere. We didn't have that today. What we knew that is that Huddersfield is a quite good side, and they are always well structured, and we know they're well set up. We saw that last time we played them, we saw that today. They're difficult to break down. It's difficult to get some of the counters we're really good at against them, because obviously they know that that's a big threat. What I'm happy-ish with is that we got a point on a day where we had an average performance. Some of the other games we played early in the season, we lost 1-0. So that's a little progress, and maybe that point can be very valuable in the end of the season. That's football. We all know that you very rarely play 46 top matches. Nil-nil, point, move on.
Indeed, 0-0, a point. We move on from the game with Huddersfield, which is exactly what we're going to do now on the Brentford Fan Show. Big game coming up in the FA Cup next. Of course, Leicester, who are on not the best run in the Premier League, you'd have to say that. And plenty more coming up on the Brentford Fan Show on Love Sport.
We've all got one, and we're not afraid to put it on display. Our opinions, that is. Share yours now at Love Sport Radio on Twitter, or call us 0208 70 20 558. Love Sport Radio, your fan station.
It's the Brentford Fan Show here on Love Sport. Me, Matt Beadle, and the boys from Besotted, Dave Laney Lane and Greville the Waterman. Still 1-0 to Stoke at the Hawthorns. We'll keep you updated on that as the game progresses. But a big game for the Bees next weekend. Of course, Leicester City in the FA Cup fourth round. The first time, gents, that Leicester will have visited Griffin Park since...
Since
1993.
Correct. There we go. I knew that you'd know that, Greville.
I was dreaming. It just suddenly came to me. I was there.
That was the season, wasn't
we
it?
We won as well.
No, we lost 3-1.
Yeah,
Brian
it was.
Brian Statham was sent off. We got relegated.
Brian Statham was sent off.
Yeah.
Love Sport's very own. Oh, we'll remind him of that on Saturday.
Iron,
yeah, absolutely.
Like a lion, it's Brian. That's what we used to sing to him.
Was that really? The song?
Iron, lion, Brian. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Absolutely
Can
brilliant.
Can you sing it now, then?
No. I thought I just did.
Oh, that was singing, was it?
Yeah. Okay, I'm going to remind him of that as well. Yeah. Brilliant. Okay, nice to know that one. That was the season Leicester went up. Leicester got to the final, I think, didn't they? The playoffs that season. Lost up to
Glenn Hoddle, Swindon. We were looking at the other end of the league. Yeah. We didn't care about that.
Remember going to get a point at Filbert Street and Detsy Krasinski hit the bar.
Yeah,
I remember that day, yeah.
But
let's not also forget, we've played Leicester a couple of times here in the FA Cup and had record crowds
at
Griffin Park.
Was it 1939 or 49?
1949. We played them in the 30s as well. But absolute, like, 39,000 at Griffin Park.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely brilliant.
Oh. Those were the days.
Sends a shiver down your spine.
And we lost 2-0.
Oh, shut up, Greville.
Actually, on that note, Greville, then, this one is going to be live on the BBC.
Yay.
Now, when on earth was the last time Brentford were in front of the BBC cameras?
Well, spontaneously, never having looked this up, of course, off the
in the
top
production,
of my
head. In the production meeting at the White Hart.
My head. No, it was about October, November 2004 when we played the mighty Hinckley Town. Missed a penalty in the first minute. It was live on BBC One and BBC Two, apparently. Thank you, Paul Bryars. And
really? What? Simultaneous?
Apparently, yeah. Wow. That's what he says. And I'd never argue with Paul Bryars, you know.
Why would you do that?
Absolutely. Wanderer B. Font of all knowledge.
Maybe there was an antique roadshow strike for that year.
And we drew 0-0.
And before that, it was Pathé News we were live on, probably.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, gents, I mean, with regards to the game itself, we were talking during the ads about the potential team that Leicester might put out, how important this is in a list of priorities for Brendan Rodgers when you consider the Carabao Cup, when you consider the top four in the Premier League. And conversely, Dave, the team that Brentford might put out.
Look, when the draw was made sort of almost 2 weeks ago, I could have argued why we should have fielded a really strong team in this game and the fact that we should be taking the FA Cup more seriously than we probably are going to be. We are three games from Wembley. We could get to the FA Cup semi-finals, but we could do that any year. We are looking at a situation where we could be in the playoffs for the Premier Division, which is just club-changing in terms of its magnitude. So, at the moment, you would imagine that we're going to be A team minus. So, everyone on that pitch, we can be confident it's going to go out and do a job for us. And I don't think they're going to be embarrassed by Leicester, knowing that Leicester's priorities are getting to Wembley in the Carabao Cup and then obviously trying to finish second or finishing that top four in the Premier League. So the FA Cup's distraction for both clubs, I would say, slightly less so for us. And I'd say we go there looking forward to seeing some of those fringe players, people like Halil Devasoglu and Pinnock stepping up and maybe taking the captain's armband and Daniels again.
I don't think we will see, given Pontus' situation, we're not going to see Pinnock and we might not even see Janvier, given if there's any spectrum of doubt of Pontus playing on Tuesday, we won't see either of them. We'll see Rakitić and one other. Who knows?
Yeah, so I mean, you know, but I think there's a big desire for this game. The tickets are selling like hotcakes. I think it will be a sellout at Griffin Park. I don't think, you know, it's not going to be easy for anyone to get a ticket for Saturday's game, even though it is on telly. So the fans don't want us to go out there and take it lightly.
No, I mean, I don't want to get stuffed 5-0 on national TV. There are a lot of people who still don't really get Brentford, who don't really know what we're about. There's a little undercurrent of excitement, and they'll watch it. And let's say we play the B team and we do get stuffed. And there again, they'll be playing a B team too, but their B team players are probably more experienced and older than ours. And I just don't want to have any jibes and fun made of us. But at the same time, if you said to me, we'll lose 4-0 at home to Leicester Reserves on Saturday and then beat Nottingham Forest on Tuesday, I'll take that every day. So until the Forest game was rescheduled, I was really up for this game and thinking, yeah, we'll give them a run for their money. We'll play the first team. But now there's a game in midweek and now we've got some injuries. You know, the BMW can stay in the garage.
Yeah, it can stay in the garage, but I still think we need to go a bit stronger than we did against Stoke, because Leicester would have taken that team apart.
Yeah, but I don't think we can. I mean, you know, you could also say Marcondes, if there is any doubt about Mathias Jensen for the Tuesday, you might also say that Marcondes shouldn't start. But I think that's taking it a bit too far. But I really don't think any of the people who are going to play on the Tuesday against Forest should start against Leicester on the Saturday. Maybe have a few on the bench, but that's it.
So that's interesting you mentioned Marcondes, because, you know, he was someone that went back to Denmark to kind of regroup and to get his season back on track. And he seems to have come back and he's made quite an impressive return, if I'm honest with you.
Yeah.
I know, you know, he scored one goal, which was the winner against Stoke, which was, I think that was a shot. I don't think
he meant it. He meant it.
It was a shot.
Not many people on the BBC thought it was, because I know it didn't appear in any of the best goals.
But they don't know him, do they? We know him.
No, but they put all any speculative shots they actually included in their goal package, and that wasn't there. So they obviously looked at each other and thought, jammy.
Is there as well, gents, and this is the situation I suppose we're getting in the FA Cup this season, particularly for Brentford, that, you know, we looked at the Stoke game and thought, could that be the final ever FA Cup game at Griffin Park? We've now got it again. Is there a feeling that actually we want it to be the final one, just for romance, to actually be a win at Griffin Park?
I'd like us to win. I mean, let's face it, even if we play a B team, I'd still like us to win. And then let's face the problem when we get to the fifth round. So maybe I'm not being consistent.
Or, I mean,
we don't want to draw. That's it.
That's the result that's probably going to happen, I'd say. I think Leicester are going to be weakened enough to make the game a match. Yeah. I think we are going to be able to compete against them. And I think we will. And I think the fringe players will step up. And I think it'll be a draw.
Oh, we don't want a draw. No.
Yeah. Well, we've not played at the King Power as a club, have we?
No.
So there you go. It's a new ground for most of us. So if we can't get a win, let's tick another one off the box.
I'm sure Billy is already lining up. Where are you going to go? How are you going to get there? And what route are you going to take?
Billy's queuing. He's out there now.
Reserved hotel rooms, which he normally does. Yeah, cancels them just in case. Yeah.
Gents, let's talk about a couple of players as well who have returned to the club over the past week. Marcus Force is back from AFC Wimbledon, as is Ellery Balcombe as well. He has returned, the goalkeeper, both because of injury. Now, I know AFC Wimbledon fans, by the way, are absolutely devastated about Force returning. Not great that he's come back in these circumstances.
You don't want him to come back broken, do you? No. And when I heard the news, there was part of me thinking, maybe we've used a little injury to get him back. And we use that as the release clause for the rest of the season. But no, it seems like he's legitimately back, and he needs a lot of treatment time. So yeah, we wish him well, as we all do, you know, with these injured players. They've had such promising starts to the season, all of them, that you just hope that he could have stayed at AFC and just carried on scoring goals, and he's ready for us in the Prem next season. So at least the worst, you know, the best of the worst situation is the fact that he can come back and feel part of the Brentford setup again.
Well, I'm, you know, it depends. I mean, there's been talk on the AFC sites and through Glyn Hodges that he might need an operation. And if that's the case, then frankly, you can forget about him for the rest of the season. But what I was hoping is that maybe we can get him fit by the end of March, and he could be a real danger coming off the bench in April fresh, when everyone else is tired and jaded, and maybe get a few goals for us then. But, you know, this is half full rather than half empty.
And you do always fear often when no clear news is given about a certain player's injury, that often it is bad news. And a player whose news we don't really know too much about as well, gents, is Nikos Kourelis. What is the crack going on there? Of course, hasn't played for the club since mid-October. Was one of the players, actually, that I was more excited about, I think, that signed in the summer. Because I thought, do you know what? In the Championship, I reckon this player could do a job. At the time, there were reservations about Ollie Watkins and whether he could do the job up front. Turns out that we didn't need to worry about that. But Karelis, yeah, what's happening?
It was the Millwall game. We got injured.
Yeah, he got Millwall. He looked good. He looked good for 20 minutes.
He did look really, really
busy. And they moved Ollie back to the wing. And look, he looked really dangerous. And we had, Karelis up front with Canos, I think, and Watkins. And we looked really, really good. And I thought, well, this could be excellent. And then he hit the post as well.
Yep.
Well, he should have scored, but he hit the post. And then he got broken in a challenge. He twisted, and that's his lot. And I personally, I don't think we'll ever see him again.
That was a game where a lot went against us, didn't they? That there was that injury, and then we found ourselves two goals down, and then all of a sudden, it was 2-1, 2-2, 3-2, and that was a stepping stone. That was a big, big shot in the arm for our season, and that I think probably is.
Well, it turned the season.
Yeah, I think it absolutely did. Yeah, yeah.
In the beautiful blue kit at the time as well.
Oh, I like that kit.
Oh, yeah. That's true. Yeah.
You mentioned Canos as well there. Now, a recovery seems on track. There's pics of him kind of running with some form of contraption attached to him.
Yeah, there's pictures of him on Instagram in the gym and, you know, and strengthening and whatever. But I'm no expert on injuries, but precedent would say that he's out for a year. And he got injured, what, end of September, beginning of October?
Yeah, he's in this, technically he's running, and it's in a weightless kind of watery kind of contraption. It looks very space age. But he's obviously, his joint and his rebuilt ligaments are doing what they need to do in terms of, you know, bending and moving. His body weight's not on it as such yet, but, you know, you look at him, he looks fit as a fiddle. He looks, you know, so.
But he can't twist and turn.
No, he can't put any weight on it, I wouldn't imagine. But but he's well on the way. So that's good news. Yeah, I think anyone's expecting to see him until
we won't see him this season. We won't see him this season.
So, but he's positive because he signed a new contract soon after making that, you know, becoming injured. So
did he sign before or after?
It was just after the injury.
Oh, that's even better. That shows our faith in him.
Yeah, absolutely. So he's a big part of our club. He's an infectious character.
Yeah.
And this is one the fans love.
Yeah, absolutely. A player that we haven't really spoken too much about on the show, I have to say, gents, is a certain Ecuadorian. Now, quite a colourful character as well, I suppose you could say. I thought we'd be speaking a bit more about him.
Ecuador.
But Joel...
Well, he's sort of the unknown enigma at the moment. He got injured at Wigan. Did he start at Wigan? I think he started at Wigan.
He busted his collarbone.
And he did his collarbone, which was a great shame. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I think that was his first start. He came on against Millwall, looked quite dangerous. He's got a shot on him. He had a great shot against QPR as well, nearly scored.
He did.
But we just don't know. I mean, he needs minutes. He needs match practice. He needs match fitness. He's never played more than 10 here, 15 there. He needs to start 3 or 4 games. You know, a puff of wind will blow him over. He's not very, doesn't look very strong.
See, I think we need to cut him to slow.
I agree.
I think he's one of those players that people want to make the judgment on, like whether he's going to be a success or failure before they, you know, just give him a chance, I'd say.
No, I agree.
You know, he probably needs at least a year.
But he's not going to start, well, he'll start on Saturday. He started against Stoke. He did all right. But I haven't seen him beat a man yet. That's the point I'm making. You know, has he got pace? Can he go on the inside? Can he go on the outside? Can he cross? Yeah. We don't know.
Again, I think we'll find all this out in time. And I really do feel like we look back over the last 5 or 6 years. There's been many, many times where fans they want to know the answer immediately. Mm. It's just like, is he going to work? Well, I don't know. Well, he's got to be rubbish then, isn't he? Well, no, just chill out on him. And, more pay was written off at least 3 times before.
Yeah,
you know,
I agree.
And the same with Andre Gray, and the same with Hogan, injury prone. And then, you know, all of a sudden, you know, I'm loath to say what do we know, but you need to see these players on the training pitch. And, you know, the track record of the people that are A, bringing them in, and B,
They don't make many mistakes.
Yes, they do. I mean, they do make mistakes.
But not
like
many.
Anyone,
not many.
Everyone makes mistakes.
Not many.
But not really. No. So if Valencia goes out on loan between now and the end of January, we'll know that perhaps they don't think he's
well.
Up
at
to
the
it.
Moment, we you know he's there on the bench with Marcondes as our only other forward option. Well, with Halil as well. Halil, I suspect, needs time to get Brentford fit. There's a difference between fit and Brentford fit.
I'm genuinely excited about Halil Calhanoglu. Yeah. I think what he showed in that game against Stoke proved that he's got every chance of making it big at Brentford.
Mm. Yep, absolutely. Exciting time, gents. Next on the Brentford Fan Show, we're going to be covering, I guess we could say, a bit of club admin.
Love Sport Radio, the station giving fans a voice.
It's the Brentford Fan Show here on Love Sport. Me, Matt Beattie, one of the boys from Besotted, Dave Laney Lane and Greville the Waterman. Just approaching half-time in the game at the Hawthorn. Still, West Brom 0, Stoke City 1. And Joe Allen has just done a typical Joe Allen challenge,
terrible
I suppose
foul.
You could say, on Hal Robson-Kanu and actually conceded a free kick in a
dangerous area.
Right on the stroke of half-time. 4 minutes of injury time. They are into the 47th of those minutes. So we'll give you updates. Hopefully nothing will happen with this particular free kick. Kick from a Brentford perspective, I must say.
Corner.
Well, let's hope not, Greville. Hey, let's hope not. Right, gents. Some videos, some news, some coverage of Brentford this week. Sky Sports did a video about leaving Griffin Park, and it was quite emotional, you'd have to say.
There were tears that were shed, apparently, from looking at our Twitter and our WhatsApp sort of, you know, our closed group. It wasn't a perfect video, but it was very well shot.
First
and
of many. I think
it used some of Trevor's drone footage. If I'm
yeah,
honest
probably.
With you, it may have been something that was shown before the QPR game, and they put it out as a twit video. But obviously, we were at the QPR game, so we didn't see that. But I think what it shows is that the emotions are kind of becoming a little bit rawer. I think it's obvious that it's happening, and I think we're a little bit quicker to reach for the Kleenex now and to kind of start blubbing. And it's, you know, we've started to the process of the West End to season ticket holders. A lot of people are now going down to the sales, the admin centre, choosing their seats. The season tickets are selling very well.
It's been handled very well as well.
Yeah, so that countdown is starting to get closer and closer to the 2nd of May. And
well,
when
you never know, there might well be one more game after that.
Yeah, there probably will be, but you know, it's that we need to be big boys and girls and kind of grasp this nettle. It's not going away. There's a couple of things, you know, on the back of that that's happening. I know, Greville, you want to say something about Bees United?
I think Bees United, who have played an integral part in the running and also the survival of this club. And now isn't the time to talk about Bees United's role in saving the club when it, you know, when it was forced to have begging bowls out. But without Bees United, the club wouldn't be in existence now. And to celebrate the move to Griffin Park to Lionel Road, Bees United are putting together a 48-page book that commemorates all the best moments of the 116 years at Griffin Park and celebrating the move into the new stadium and picking out some great moments and fantastic photographs, a couple of articles about, you know, how we got to Lionel Road and the obstacles we had to get through. It's in production at the moment. It'll be ready soon after the beginning of next season, because we actually want to include the first ever game at Lionel Road, or the first ever league game. God forbid it might be the first ever Premier League game. Who knows?
And so, that's something that's going to be given away free.
Yeah, and the key thing is it's as a mark of, you know, just to acknowledge everything and to acknowledge Bees United's importance and putting things back into the community. It's going to be given away to every fan that we can get details of. So that's something to look forward to. It's 7 months or so, 8 months away, but it's going to be lovely.
That is lovely.
And the other sort of incident of note is that the first editions of the big Brentford book of Griffin Park, they're almost sold out now. I'm proud to say that I published that, and I put that together with myself and Mark Croxford, and Greville was involved in some of that as well. I think there's a small quantity in the club shop. And I've got less than five copies now.
Really?
Yeah.
I've got a couple.
Yeah, so
I mean, that's an excellent. You must be fortunate on eBay. With that. Yeah.
I'm absolutely delighted book. With that, and there was a lot of Brentford fans that bought it in advance and had their names and their family names put in the dedications section at the back. The book is going to be updated, so it's not going to be out of print forever, but it needs to be breathed on heavily. There's stuff that's happened in the last couple of years, and obviously moving towards that last game, the first game at the next stadium is not part of this book at all, but the fan pictures over the last season, we've got some absolute crackers that have been sent in to us, so they'll be put towards the back of the book, and there's photographs that I've bought at auction and I've got access to since the book came out a year and a half ago that will be added to the existing book. And so anyone that's already bought that and had their name in the back, their names will automatically go into the next edition of the book. But we will also be opening that up again, because I'm sure there's a lot more fans than are currently in that want to add their names to the dedication section. So that'll be something that I'll be opening up in the next few weeks, with the club hopefully getting fully on board with that. But you know what, either way, the book will be updated, because as I said, it's something that we all want to be able to pull off our bookshelves in 20 years time and look at every year of Griffin Park's proud and wonderful history. So, yeah, keep them peeled on besotted.com, and I'm sure we'll be talking again on the radio show before the end of the season.
I would imagine very much so, Dave. And I just want to mention that Billy last week was very honest and gave us a lot of information about this new season ticket experience that fans are getting, and you can book your appointment and you can chuck your virtual reality headset on, etc., etc. Your thoughts, gents, on this? I mean, this has been received quite well from fans.
Yeah, I know Greville's bought a posh seat in advance. He's got one of the pictures of prawn sandwiches on the front of his season ticket.
Well, let's just say that my two kids are devastated because their birthright has gone into the new stadium. All that money I was going to leave to them is going to the club. I've got to be honest, I've bought two mate, very nice
mate,
seats.
Mate, I know you're worth more than a couple of hundred quid. So,
and my wife said to me, in all seriousness, it's the second love of your life. Do it. So I've done it, and that's it. I'm so excited.
Brentford? Sorry, no.
We're finishing as we started. Crikey, what a show it's been. I'll tell you what, we've had that local side, but we've had the scathing Greville Waterman today. Just kidding.
My experience was absolutely fantastic. I have to say, I didn't really know what to expect from it. There was a few of us that went down, and we kind of were a little bit kind of gallows humour about the coloured seats, and we wanted to make jokes about it, but I think we were all very pleasantly surprised how the staff at the sales centre got it. They fully understood our expectations of being in the West End, how important it was to be near certain areas but further away. We want the West End Alliance, the youngsters, to be at the back of the stand and making as much noise. Our slightly older ones, but not so old that we don't want to make a part of the atmosphere. We want to be close to that, and we are close to that. So yeah, I don't think I've heard one bad word said about it, which I think is fantastic. When you realise literally how raw emotions are. And if anyone feels slightly offended by people not getting it or not understanding it or just taking Brentford fans for granted, I'm sure there's going to be angry words. But I think everyone's really chilled, and I think that's the other thing to remember, is that there's a lot of talk about and a slight confusion about Brentford fans not knowing when their turn is. People that haven't got an 8-year season ticket record, but you've got to remember that the new ground is bigger in capacity to the old one. So if you're if you qualify for a season ticket at Griffin Park,
you'll get one.
You're going to get one.
Yeah, absolutely. Huge credit to the club for handling what could have been a very sensitive transition very well. Now, Greville, we've got about 30 seconds, so I'm going to come to you because we did mention Liverpool at the top of the show. They've won every home league game so far this season. There's a record under threat.
Yeah, but the point is, not really, because Liverpool have won, I think it's their first 12 Premiership games this season at Anfield. If they win every home game this season, they will only have won 19. But in 1929-30, Brentford won all 21 Division 3 South, I think it probably would have been, games, and also didn't go up. It just shows we were lousy away from home then as well. So Liverpool could match winning every home game, and I think that's also been done probably before 1929-30, but no one has ever won more than 21 games. Obviously, if a championship or one or two team won now, they did that now, they'd play 23 games. Mm. But Liverpool, we're still on top.
What a great way to end the show, gents. It's been nothing but a pleasure having you in my company. Greville, thank you.
Pleasure. Thanks, Dave, for having me.
Thank you.
Cheers.
This has been the Brentford Fan Show. We'll be back next Monday, 8 p.m, Love Sport London. See you then.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.